Today is Wednesday, March 31st. What to know about overcrowding at the border? We'll tell you what journalists found when they got their first glimpse inside the main migrant facility in South Texas. Also, it was a day of tearful testimony. What witnesses say they saw the day George Floyd died as an ex-officer's high-profile murder trial continues. Plus, the latest state to legalize recreational marijuana. How Volkswagen caused some confusion in what was apparently just an early April Fool's Day joke. And a fan-favorite HBO series heading to Broadway. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, the world is starting to see the real human impact of the recent migrant surge on the southern border in the U.S. For the first time, journalists were able to go inside a main migrant facility in South Texas. And as the AP puts it, it was grim. The facility in the town of Donna was designed to hold up to 250 people. But more than 4,000 people are being housed there right now. More than 3,400 of them are children who travel to the U.S.-Mexico border alone. The rest are families. The facility is split into makeshift rooms divided by plastic walls. Reporters say hundreds of children packed into each one. And even though they are allowed to move around or to play games, there apparently isn't much room to move at all. So journalists saw most of the kids just sitting on the ground inches away from each other. Kids are supposed to just stay in these facilities for 3 days max. Then protocol says they go with a relative or another vetted adult sponsor until their cases are brought up in immigration court. But the issue is, more children are crossing every day than are being transferred. So thousands of kids at that facility in South Texas had been there longer than the three-day mark. The federal government is working to help with the backlog. It started housing migrant children at convention centers in Dallas and San Diego. It's also opening large-scale sites in San Antonio, El Paso, and elsewhere. But in some ways, things are expected to get worse before they get better. The Biden administration expects the number of children crossing the border to keep increasing for the next several months. And one top immigration official told reporters he fully expects Border Patrol to encounter more than a million migrants this year. Another powerful politician is said to be under investigation for possible sexual misconduct. The New York Times cited three sources who say the Justice Department is looking into Congressman Matt Gaetz and whether he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. They're also investigating whether he paid her to travel with him, and that could be considered sex trafficking. The Times says the investigation was opened many months ago during the Trump administration under then-Attorney General William Barr. So far, no formal charges have been brought against Gaetz, though, and the congressman from Florida says all allegations are not true. On Fox News and on Twitter, he defended himself, saying he and his family have been the victims of an extortion scheme. He says a former official with the Justice Department is trying to get money out of him and his family and is using this investigation as a threat. So far, though, the Justice Department has not publicly responded to any of the allegations or any of the other media reports. Stay tuned. It's been an emotional week so far in Minneapolis, where a former police officer is on trial for the death of George Floyd. Six witnesses spoke on the stand yesterday about the day Floyd died, and many of them broke down in tears. One of them was a Minneapolis firefighter and certified EMT named Genevieve Hansen. She was off duty that day back in May, but she says she was on a walk and saw then-officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck. Hansen says she was worried about how much weight was on Floyd's neck at the time and that he did not seem to be responding. So she told officers she was a firefighter and she apparently begged them to let her help, at least to start CPR. However, Hansen says she couldn't do anything because officers would not let her get close. Jurors also heard from the teenager who recorded the now famous video of Floyd's final moments. She said ever since that day, she stays up at night, quote, apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more. Now, already, the defense has argued former Officer Chauvin did what his training told him to do and that he did not actually cause Floyd's death. Instead, his lawyers say Floyd died because of drugs, heart disease, high blood pressure, and adrenaline moving through his body. The defense team still plans to call their own witnesses later in this trial, and the whole trial is expected to last anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. It looks like New York will become the 15th state to legalize recreational marijuana for adults, and it could become one of the nation's largest markets for cannabis. State lawmakers passed the bill last night, and it now heads to the governor, who has already said he'll sign it into law. Democrats in the state have been pushing for this change, saying marijuana arrests tend to target people of color. In fact, a study looking at NYPD data last year found 94% of those arrested for pot in the state were Black or Hispanic. Well, this new law will mean tens of thousands of people will have their drug records erased. The governor's office also points to an expected $350 million in tax revenue for the state each year and as many as 60,000 new jobs created. But critics include some law enforcement and school and community advocates who worry legalizing weed will further strain the healthcare system and send mixed messages to young people. Either way, recreational sales in New York may take up to 2 years to get started. But once the governor signs the bill, up to 3 ounces of marijuana will be considered legal for adults 21 and older in the state right away. We have more news just ahead, but first, this episode is brought to you by Stamps.com. If you're not familiar, Stamps.com brings the post office and UPS right to your home or work computer. No need to make that extra stop and risk waiting in line. I know I'd rather spend my time making this business and this podcast better and or spending time with my family. So Stamps.com allows me to just use my own computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, and send it anywhere I want. Once the mail is ready, it's easy to just schedule a pickup or drop off. And yes, you can save money as well with big discounts on mailing and shipping rates. So stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with our promo code NEWSWORTHY, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in NEWSWORTHY. That's Stamps.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, now back to the news. March Madness is down to the Final Four, or in other words, the semifinals, and this means there are only 3 games left before we have an NCAA college basketball champion. So who's left? It's Houston, Baylor, UCLA, and Gonzaga. UCLA is the biggest surprise here, since they came into the tournament as an 11-seeded team, and they defeated a top-seeded team, Michigan, just last night. Still, Gonzaga looks like the frontrunner in the whole tournament. They're the only team that's still undefeated all season. Of course, we know anything can happen in March Madness, even an upset. You can watch both Final Four games this Saturday, then the national championship game on Monday. By the way, the Final Four is also set in the women's college basketball tournament. On the women's side, it's down to Stanford, South Carolina, UConn, and Arizona. And Stanford and UConn are favorites to win. Their Final Four games happen this Friday, and then the championship is set for Sunday. We now know all 4 people who will be on the first all-civilian flight to space, meaning no pros allowed, or at least no traditionally trained astronauts will be on board. Billionaire entrepreneur and philanthropist Jared Isaacman teamed up with SpaceX and will be paying the way for the private trip around Earth. It's also raising millions of dollars for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Isaacman chose 3 other non-billionaires to join him for this once-in-a-lifetime trip. And now the newest names just added to the list are Dr. Cyan Proctor. She's a geoscientist and a community college professor from Arizona. She was picked for this when a panel of judges chose her SpaceArt website over 200 other businesses. Also, Chris Sembroski. He's a former Air Force missileman from Washington State who now works for the aerospace company Lockheed Martin. He donated to enter the public raffle, but it was actually his friend who won and gave the seat to Sembroski instead. And you may remember Haley Arsenault was already named to the crew a month ago. She's a child cancer survivor and St. Jude physician assistant. She's set to become the youngest American in space. I spoke with Arsenault and Isaacman about this trip for a special edition Saturday episode just earlier this month on March 20th, if you want to learn more about it. This historic mission to space is set to take off later this year. Reports say it could be as early as September. Volkswagen's name change was just an elaborate hoax. The German automaker had formally announced this week that it would be changing its name to Volkswagen to reflect its renewed focus on developing electric vehicles. But it turns out the announcement was just a marketing stunt. A company spokesman has now confirmed it was an early April Fool's joke. However, the joke may ultimately be on Volkswagen because the AP reports the company could potentially face legal trouble for that joke. That's because companies are not allowed to release fake information that could impact a stock price. And after the name change was announced, Volkswagen's stock price rose by nearly 5 percentage points. But at least one business and law expert told the AP, for Volkswagen to actually get in trouble, regulators would have to prove the company was knowingly trying to manipulate its stock. The Securities and Exchange Commission has not yet commented on this stunt. Game of Thrones is headed to Broadway. The Hollywood Reporter says the stage show will be based on a prequel story about 16 years earlier from where the Game of Thrones TV series began. It is set to focus on an event called the Great Tourney at Harrenhal. The event was mentioned in the books and the HBO series, but fans have yet to see the action. Based on the books, fans can expect to see well-known characters like Ned Stark, Jaime Lannister, and Lord Robert Baratheon show up in this script. But don't expect fan favorites like Jon Snow, Arya Stark, or the Mother of Dragons, Daenerys Targaryen. None of those characters would have been born yet. Author George R.R. Martin is apparently working on the story for the Broadway show now. It's expected to debut on stages in New York, London, and Australia in 2023. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, thanks to our sponsor, Noom. When it comes to weight loss and healthy eating habits, Noom believes there are too many misconceptions out there. And really, the answer to all your food questions is the same: psychology. That's right, Noom is not about strict rules, but instead about giving you the knowledge and the tools you need to feel good about your choices, your energy, and yourself. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach means you're not just losing weight, you're building the habits to actually keep it off in the long term and accomplish any of your other personal health goals. And Noom works with your lifestyle and is forgiving because Noom knows you're human. So it's okay to go off track today and then just get back on track tomorrow. Also, let's face it, we're all busy. Noom does not demand too much of your time. They only ask for about 10 minutes a day. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, you can sign up for your trial at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. That's Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. Well, many of the workplace changes brought on by the coronavirus pandemic are likely here to stay. It turns out a majority of workers enjoy the flexibility of being able to work from home, although they don't want to work from home every single day. According to a new survey by PricewaterhouseCoopers, 72% of workers said they want a mix of remote and in-person working. And major corporations appear to be on board with making this type of arrangement permanent for the long term. Many are working to get rid of any extra office space that is no longer deemed essential. The Wall Street Journal reports JPMorgan Chase, for example, is trying to sublease 700,000 square feet of office space in one of its Manhattan offices. Uber and Wells Fargo are also looking to offload office space they're not using in San Francisco. As for the office space that is left, employees can expect those areas to look quite different in the future as well. Shared office areas may be larger and equipped with more screens for video conferencing abilities. And the New York Times cited an office furniture supplier that says there's more interest in items that can be moved easily, like mobile tables and dividers. The personal cubicle could also disappear, especially if an employee is in the office only a couple times per week. Workers may be expected to share those spaces instead. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.